The epistle for today's Mass is taken from St. Paul's first epistle to the Corinthians. Brethren, when you meet together, it is no longer possible to eat the Lord's Supper. For at the meal, each one takes first his own supper, and one is hungry, and another drinks overmuch. Have you not houses for your eating and drinking? Or do you despise the church of God and put to shame the needy? What am I to say to you? Am I to commend you? In this I do not commend you. For I myself have received from the Lord what I also delivered to you. But the Lord Jesus, on the night in which he was betrayed, took bread, and giving thanks, broke and said, "This is my body, which shall be given up for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In like manner also the cup, after he had supped, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it, in remembrance of me. For as often as you shall eat this bread and drink the cup, you proclaim the death of the Lord until he comes. Therefore, whoever eats this bread or drinks the cup of the Lord unworthily will be guilty of the body and the blood of the Lord. But let a man prove himself, and so let him eat of that bread and drink of the cup. For he who eats and drinks unworthily without distinguishing the body eats and drinks judgment to himself. This is why many among you are infirm and weak, and many sleep. But if we judged ourselves, we should not thus be judged. But when we are judged, we are being chastised by the Lord, that we may not be condemned with this world." Please stand for the Gospel. The Holy Gospel for this Mass is taken from the account according to St. John, chapter 13, verses 1 to 15. Before the feast of the Passover, Jesus, knowing that the hour had come for him to pass out of this world to the Father, having loved his own who were in the world, loved them to the end. And during the supper, the devil, having already put it into the heart of Judas Iscariot, the son of Simon, to betray him, Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things into his hands, and that he had come forth from God and was going to God, rose from the supper and laid aside his garments, and taking a towel, girded himself. Then he poured water into the basin and began to wash the feet of the disciples and to dry them with the towel with which he was girded. He came then to Simon Peter, and Peter said to him, "Lord, do you wash my feet?" Jesus answered and said to him, "What I do you know not now, but you shall know hereafter. Peter said to him, "You shall never wash my feet." Jesus answered him, "If I do not wash you, you shall have no part with me." Simon Peter said to him, "Lord, not my feet only, but also my hands and my head." Jesus said to him, "He who has bathed needs only to wash, and he is clean all over. And you are clean, but not all." For he knew who it was that would betray him. This is why he said, "You are not all clean." Now, after he had washed their feet and put on his garments, When he had reclined again, he said to them, "Do you know what I have done to you? You call me Master and Lord, and you say, 'Well,' for so I am. If therefore I, the Lord and Master, have washed your feet, you also ought to wash the feet of one another. For I have given you an example, that as I have done to you, so you also should do." Thus far the words of today's Holy Gospel. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, amen. This is among the most beautiful of all of the liturgical days of the year. The priest is never able, I think, to speak adequately or enough about all of the mysteries that are recalled and renewed on a night like this. I think that it is for that reason that this Mass begins with the words, "For it behooves us to glory in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, in whom is our salvation, life, and resurrection, by whom we are saved and delivered." Because you see, every mystery that is remembered on this night centers around this one sign, this one event, the event of the cross. And what are these mysteries? They are three. One, the institution of the priesthood. Today is the birthday of the priesthood, the only vocation in the whole world that does not come from men. It is the only vocation that was directly created by God. Secondly, the institution of the holy sacrifice of the Mass. Today marks the day on which the first Mass was offered. And thirdly, the institution of the most blessed sacrament of the altar, that which we call the Holy Eucharist. And when it is received, we call it Holy Communion. These three of the greatest gifts that have been given to the world were given on one night, one event. And it was at the night before our Lord suffered. He left us these three greatest gifts. He created them and gave them to us. First, the priesthood. What is there to say about the priesthood? It is the means of grace. It is that sacrament by which a man is made to have powers that come from God alone. They are divine. Their value is infinite. Their consequences are eternal. The priesthood is that sacrament by which a man receives what we call a character, a mark on his soul that changes him forever. Unlike the sacrament of matrimony, which lasts only until death, the sacrament of holy orders lasts forever. In heaven, a man is a priest. He will never stop being a priest. Or in purgatory, or if a man is condemned to hell as a priest, he stays there forever, always as a priest. God himself cannot even change it. It is a character then that lasts, I tell you, forever. And the powers of the priesthood, the power to offer the sacrifice of Calvary. And that brings us to the second gift, doesn't it? Before I go on, you know, it is important to remember, above all things, before we even try to delve into the mysteries that are given to us, the way they are explained. It says that our Lord, having loved his own who are given to him in this world, loved them to the end. This is a night of love. There is no other virtue that is spoken about by our Lord the night before he died than the virtue of love, the virtue of charity, of divine love. Our Lord did not speak, if you read any of the Gospel of St. John, about how important it is to believe, to trust, to hope, to have confidence. Our Lord spoke about only one thing. If you love me, keep my commandments. Greater love than this no man has than that he give his life for his friends. And you are my friends. This, then, all of these gifts are nothing but a product of love. And there is only one virtue that we think of. In all of these other mysteries, we think only of love. It is the center of our faith. It is the greatest gift that God gives us. And every other gift that he bestows upon us comes from only one source, one channel, the merciful love of God. Now, that second gift, the gift of the institution of the holy sacrifice of the Mass. What is it? Oh, I think you know. But just for the sake of remembering, I repeat it. It is the sacrament of the new law by which a priest, through the power of orders, the power of holy orders, renews, commemorates, makes present again the sacrifice of Calvary, the sacrifice of our Lord's body and blood, that sacrifice of our Lord's life shed in a bloody manner, renewed and made present on the altar in an unbloody way. But the sacrifice is the same. That is the institution of the holy sacrifice of the Mass. That's what it's all about. And so, when you come here, what you do is you make yourselves present at the foot of the cross. You witness exactly the same thing that our Lord accomplished when he offered himself up on Calvary. And it was done for one purpose only, this institution of the Mass. It was done for the sake of uniting each and every one of you with his infinite merits, so that you may have a chance for eternal life. And what is eternal life? That they may know the one true God and him whom God has sent his Son, Jesus Christ. Know not only by faith, but know by experience. Knowledge by having touched God. That's the purpose of the Mass, in order to make us one with himself, all for the sake of love. Love which wants to give itself. That's the purpose. And that's what the Mass is all about, to give you eternal life, to give you an intimate friendship with the God who loves you, who created you, who redeemed you, who makes you like himself. That's what the Mass does. And you know something? When people ask, what do I do when I go to Mass? What do I accomplish? What is it that is the best way of coming? Is it enough just to sit there and say my prayers? How is it best, the best way of assisting at Mass? The best way is first to understand what the Mass is, what I just told you. And secondly, it is to accomplish in yourselves exactly what our Lord did. And what did our Lord do when he was allowed himself to be crucified? When I can say in a way, he crucified himself through the instrument of his enemies. You see how our Lord draws the greatest good from the worst crimes. What did our Lord do? It says, the night before he died, about his priests, and for them I sanctify myself. When our Lord, you see, allowed himself to be nailed to the cross, he made his body sanctified, that is to say, separate, different. He placed himself as a living immolation. He made himself other. And I, if I am lifted up, will draw all things to myself. By our Lord's separation from the world, by having been lifted up in crucifixion, he made himself holy, made himself, as it were, other. And in this offered himself up to his Father in order to adore his Father for us, in order to make reparation for our sins. Because you see, our Lord's act of love on the cross for God, our Heavenly Father, was greater than all of the sins of the whole world. And so by that act, all satisfaction for all sins was made. And then our Lord thanked God for us, for everything that he has given us. When we fail to thank God for the goods that we are given, why, we can know that our Lord on the cross thanked him for us. And more. Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Our Lord prayed to God for us. He asked God his Father for favors for us, for mercy, for eternal life, for heaven, for all of the goods that we need in this world to make us happy and to prepare us for the next world. That is what our Lord did on the cross, and all was determined by the intentions of his Sacred Heart. If our Lord did not offer himself, there would be no value to the crucifix. It would be empty. How then do you participate at Mass? By doing exactly what our Lord did. You, when you go to Mass, when you now are at this Mass, what you must remember is that you must offer yourselves along with the priest and the one priest, our Lord. You must offer your lives, offer your sins, so that they may be destroyed, just as our Lord's human life was destroyed. You must offer all of your goods, offer your feelings, offer everything that is about you, offer your will, offer your intellect. You must will everything that you are, place it on the paten, because you see, you are already represented there by the grains of wheat that form the one host. All of those grains that are crushed, that are, as it were, mashed down and stamped with the sign of a cross, all of those grains of wheat are represented, or represent you. You then are on the host, on the paten. You are the host, and you then become the body of Christ. You are made one with our Lord. And so it is important that you become living victims. And through that act of union of yourselves with our Lord, immolated, as it were crucified on the altar, you become a sharer in the merits of our Lord's passion. That's what the Mass accomplishes. That is why our Lord instituted it the night before he died, so that it would be the first thing that you would remember when you think of our Lord. You would think of him crucified. You would think of him united with you in this act of Calvary. And there is one last thing. The first fruit of the Mass, what we call the sacrament of the Holy Eucharist. What makes the Mass relevant? What makes it related to us? It is precisely the product of the Mass. What makes it so important in a daily life that you have to live? It is the sacrament of the Holy Eucharist. Do you know what you do when you receive the Holy Eucharist? You receive the sacred humanity of the Savior from the altar. And that is the reason why the priest must be himself a victim at the altar. Because you see, the channel of grace that comes right from the host is meant to pass through the body and the soul of the priest and then to you. And what you do in uniting yourselves with the priest when he places the sacred host on your tongue is that you become an extension of this death of Christ. You become a part of it. You become a part of his body. And you know what St. Augustine says? And all of the other saints, in particular, the popes of modern times, as they have tried to encourage people to receive the Holy Communion so often, you become one with our Lord. You are literally one in his body. You become a part of it. And through that union with our blessed Savior, you become one with each other. And that is the reason why our Lord spoke of nothing else on this Last Supper except love. Love is the whole point. It's the point of the Holy Eucharist. When you come at the communion rail and you receive Holy Communion, what do you say? You say to God and you say to each other that you believe in the real presence of our Lord in the Blessed Sacrament. You say that you hope for God. You say that you trust him. You say that you want to go to heaven, that you want to be happy with God forever. That's what you say. You say that you love our blessed Lord. You love him more than you love yourselves. You love him more than life. You love him more than reality, more than creation. He is the first of all goods. And because of that love, you therefore love one another. Because you have a common faith, you have a common hope, and you have a common love. You are closer to each other in receiving the Blessed Sacrament than if you were to be related by blood. That is what is accomplished by the reception of Holy Communion. You are part of each other. We are all part of the same family, part of the same body. That is the great good of the Blessed Sacrament. That is what is accomplished. It is the grace of union. Union with God, union with one another. Why do you suppose that our Lord, just before he instituted the Blessed Sacrament, he decided to wash the feet of his apostles? It is to demonstrate this one result of the priesthood, the Mass, and Holy Communion. Love and unity in love. I have given you an example. I, who am your Lord, wash your feet. You, because you belong to me, must wash the feet of each other. You belong to each other. By this, all men will know that you are mine, that you love one another. If there was ever a time, ever an age, in which we need to be assured that we belong to each other, that we are one family, that we are close to each other through our faith and through belonging to the body of Christ, it is today, when the whole world seeks to live by its passions, when so many who claim to be the followers of our blessed Lord are, as has been so often in the past, his enemies. To whom shall we go? We belong to each other. We must depend on each other. We must stay together because of the common life that we have. We need each other. We need each other's support. We need each other's prayers, each other's consolation. We need each other's encouragement. We are the sign of the union of the church, of the union of our Lord's mystical body. By this, all men will know that you are my disciples, if you love one another. What a betrayal it is of the body to which we belong, our Lord's body, if we allow ourselves to be victims of jealousy, of hatred, of animosity, of envy, of slander, of detraction. What a betrayal. That we see all around us. Oh yes, it is important to believe, of course. But what good is it to believe if it is not grounded in love? Love of God. And because of our love of God, our love for our brethren. It is for this reason that this year, even though it is not by prescript but by encouragement of the church, it is for this year, for this reason especially, that this year we have decided to incorporate into our liturgy the mandatum, the washing of the feet, to demonstrate, to relive this moment of our Lord as it is, as it were, personified in the priest who takes the place of our Lord, in the washing of the feet of the people. To make you understand that our Lord comes to you to be a servant, to draw you together into his one body, to make us all share, as it were, his one life, to bring us all together, to give us that sense of unity by which we are strong to resist the attacks of those against us, against our faith, against our principles, against our values, against all those things that we love and are willing to die for. Yes, we are the church. We are the mystical body of Christ. Because we love. Because we love the love that the Holy Eucharist brings us. That is what our Lord gives us in Holy Communion. His love, his life, his strength. And that is meant to be diffused throughout all of you. Not so that you could go home alone, but rather that you could always rest in peace, knowing that we are together. We are as one. We belong to one family. More, we belong to one body, member for member, helping each other, assisting each other, serving each other, washing the feet of each other. That's what it means to be a Catholic. That's what it means to believe. That's what it means to receive Holy Communion and to assist at Mass. Without this, the faith that we love is worthless. It means nothing. It is with this in mind, then, that we offer this Mass, that we pray for that unity that the world cannot give us, that the enemies of Christ, the enemies of the Church, those who even claim to be a part of it, seek to destroy by tearing down the cross, the source of unity, the Holy Eucharist, which is nothing but the cross in our lives. When you receive Holy Communion at this Mass, you remember those words of the introit. But it behooves us to glory. This is what makes us excellent. That is the meaning of glory, excellence. It behooves us to glory, to be great, in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, in whom is our salvation, life, and resurrection, by whom we are saved and delivered from all of the trials and tribulations and sufferings and attacks of this world. May God have mercy on us and save us. May he show his countenance on us. May he bless us. May he give us peace and unity around our altar, around the most blessed sacrament of the altar. You see what a great gift it is to have been given Holy Communion? I cannot imagine us living without it. Each day you should hunger more and more for this supersubstantial bread, the bread of angels, the bread of life. I have come that they may have life and have it more abundantly. May God bless you.